The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Do you ever feel stuck on a hamster wheel, constantly running but getting nowhere? The secret is actually quite simple. When you fall in love with yourself, everything else falls into place, personally and professionally. It's time to get unstuck, reclaim your personal power, and recapture your zest for living. Now, here's your host, Deborah Jane Wells.
Hi there, this is Deborah Jane Wells, Life Coach and Reiki Master. Thanks for tuning into our show. Today's theme is Choosing Your Fuel, the Role of Core Energy. This week's episode is the second in a series of sneak previews from my upcoming book, being released by Hay House Balboa Press in spring 2013. Sit back and relax while I share with you insights from Chapter 4 concerning the role your core energy plays in learning to love yourself unconditionally and build the life you dream of. This content will lay the perfect foundation for next week's episode when I'll be joined by Luke Iorio, President and CEO of the Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching, or IPEC, to discuss IPEC's life-transforming energy leadership paradigm, including their groundbreaking Energy Leadership Index assessment. Chapter 4, Choosing Your Fuel, the Role of Core Energy. Establishing and maintaining constructive core energy fueled by love, respect, curiosity, compassion, and gratitude forms the firm foundation for a life of flow. Love means I nurture and encourage myself in healthy ways. Respect means I honor my choices. I do the best I can with the love and light I have at the time. Curiosity means instead of judging, I wonder why. Compassion means I acknowledge and value my feelings. And gratitude means I appreciate my life. Everything's an opportunity. Approaching life with love, respect, curiosity, and compassion always reveals and advances the highest good for all, in all, through all. Gratitude fosters a life of generous, effortless, gracious flow, filled with faith, hope, prosperity, peace, and joy. It all starts with embracing the amazing and liberating possibility that the love of your life just might be you. Many people tell me it feels selfish to think in those terms, that we are supposed to love and care for our neighbor. I remind them we are also supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. Many of us would end up in court or prison if we treated our neighbors the way we treat ourselves. I'm reminded of the adage, charity begins at home. If according to Merriam-Webster's 2011 dictionary, charity is benevolent goodwill toward or love of humanity, or at a minimum, lenient judgment of others, then I suggest it has to begin at home. It has to begin with me. My ability to love others unconditionally is directly dependent on whether I love myself unconditionally. While as a good actor, I can fake it by keeping all the judgmental voices inside my head, as with many things in life, there is a vast difference between faking it and the real thing. So what does this kind of love look like? Being patient with and kind to yourself. Not being envious. Believing you deserve the best of everything. Always honoring and trusting your personal truth. Respecting your abilities and the decisions you've made. Always nurturing and protecting yourself. Persevering with loyalty to yourself no matter what. Paying attention to and demonstrating compassion for whatever you are feeling. Recognizing and being grateful for your many gifts and talents. Pierre Thillat du Chardon captured the importance of this way of living when he wrote, "Someday, after mastering the winds, the waves, the tides, and gravity, we shall harness for God the energies of love, and then, for a second time in the history of the world, we will have discovered fire." This is the very heart of the personal transformation I've experienced in my own life and the lives of my clients. With the compassionate guidance of many spiritual elders, I am learning to harness the energy of love, to approach myself, every being, encounter, and experience with love. This way of living is a path, a journey, not a destination. It is not about self-improvement. It's about becoming aware and awakening my heart moment by moment, day by day. This path to deep peace, lasting joy, and meaningful relationships begins with a three-part commitment to myself. Number one, I matter. Number two, I fuel myself with optimal constructive energy. And number three, I am powerful. It's interesting that those who learn to fall in love with themselves are actually less likely to behave selfishly. Their joy and peace are contagious. They show up in their families, friendships, and workplaces with a spring in their step and a zest for living that carries them and those around them forward in new and exciting directions. My clients are men and women, young and not so young, single, divorced, or married. What they have in common is an unflinching commitment to knowing themselves better and doing the deep and rewarding work necessary to make the life they dream of a reality. Their real life stories and mine send a clear, consistent message. When we spend our lives not taking care of ourselves, eventually we're no good to ourselves or anyone else. We cannot share anything of lasting value with others by giving from an empty well. When we learn to treat ourselves with love in every moment, then and only then will we find ourselves able to be of genuine service to others. Bottom line, it's not just okay to fall in love with yourself, it's essential. When you fall in love with yourself, everything else finally falls into place. This transformation arises from a fundamental shift in your head and your heart. Once love transforms your relationship with yourself, it can't help but transform your personal life and work in ways that will exhilarate you. Your more constructive personal energy will automatically transform every being and situation you encounter. You will, by your very presence, quite literally transform the world. The Discovery Framework provides a useful model for making this way of being a reality in your life too. Love, respect, curiosity, compassion, and gratitude are not just five woo-woo New Age words I pulled out of thin air because they sounded zen and cool. They were revealed to me individually, real time, as I lived through the phases of my own dramatic and highly personal transformation. The formula for making them a way of life is simple to explain. In every situation, love yourself enough to pay attention to every aspect of your life. Respect everything you are experiencing, what you are thinking, feeling, deciding, saying, and doing. Determine whether the energy underneath is love or fear. If it's love, you're probably on your authentic path. If it's fear, demonstrate compassion for yourself. Foster gratitude by reminding yourself that everything is an opportunity. Then further neutralize the fear by bringing curiosity to bear. Explore every aspect of the situation, especially your internal landscape, and identify all of the opportunities available to you through this unique experience. As with any new skill, practice will help this way of being become a healthy new habit, your automatic response to every situation. In summary, figure out what you want, understand whether it's fueled by fear, transform any fear into love, set your intention, and then get ready to receive it, because it will happen. In the remaining sections of this chapter, I'll provide an overview of the five elements of core energy. While a few words of explanation will help you get started, the only way to really understand how to optimize their constructive impact in your life is to live them. Start by setting your intention to make them a way of life. Once your energy is fully committed, the universe will deliver, often quite rapidly. After all, with his famous E equals MC squared, Einstein proved that everything is energy. Quantum physics demonstrates that energy attracts like energy. So having selected and tuned yourself to the desired frequency, your personal versions of love, respect, curiosity, compassion, and gratitude will be manifest in your life. You'll discover the many ways they show up for you and what approaches to applying them are optimal to create the life you dream of. With practice and experience, they'll quickly become healthy new habits. Love. I nurture and encourage myself in healthy ways. My first big realization on the road to recovery was that my utter and complete burnout was clear evidence that I had not been loving myself. I was not nurturing or encouraging myself in healthy ways, physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. I was disrespecting my body, mind, feelings, and values, working myself nearly to death with no regard for illness or despair. If I'd treated another being that way, human or feline, I would have been jailed long ago. When I became serious about uncovering the roots of my imbalance and trying to set it right, I concluded that there are two fundamental types of core energy, love and fear. When I examined the primary energy underneath any thought, feeling, word, or deed, I found love, fear, or some combination of the two. Love is constructive and moves you forward. Fear is destructive and holds you back. Love is the author of truth and reality. Fear is the author of lies and illusion. At first, I didn't always recognize them as love or fear because they didn't always show up in my life with those specific labels. I found the terms to be nebulous, tricky, and easy to misunderstand. With awareness, persistence, and unflinching honesty, over time I was able to recognize love and fear masquerading under lots of other masks. In trying to get a more accurate, concrete grasp on what healthy self-love might look like, I realized I understood its opposite, fear, much better because I had fueled myself with it for so long. With mindfulness and curiosity, I recognized that the many faces of fear could be synthesized into a four-part pattern that captured the most common guises in which fear showed up in my relationship with myself: contempt, judging, shame, and lack. I then employed one of my favorite writing technologies, the Microsoft Word Thesaurus function, to find their opposites: respect, curiosity, compassion, and gratitude. With the help of the insight and clarity provided by those particular attributes of love, the light dawned, and I began to make real progress. Focusing on these four constructs helped me more easily answer the eternal question in evaluation: is this what unconditional self-love looks like? And if not, what would bring me closer to that intention? I'll expand on the nature and meaning of respect, curiosity, compassion, and gratitude in the remaining sections of this chapter. While taking good care of myself physically produced many healthy changes, when I shifted from taking good care of myself to falling in love with myself, everything else in my life finally fell into place. I lost weight physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. I got off the hamster wheel, found my calling, and created a joyous, fulfilling life. Falling in love with myself was just like falling in love with someone else. I paid attention and treated myself as if I mattered, as if I were my own beloved child. One of the most powerful changes was being relentless about noticing and transforming any negative head talk into more loving, supportive messages. In Chapter 6, on your personal board of directors, we'll dive much more deeply into the roots, role, and transformation of this type of self-sabotaging, gremlin, head chatter. For now, just know that fear is incredibly toxic. It doesn't take much to poison the well of your life. Little things like the verbs I use, have to, should, need to, can't, and the like, are indicators that fear is fueling my thoughts and beliefs about a given situation or relationship. Nothing is too small to matter, every little bit of fear you transform into love gives you a substantial energy boost. It doesn't take much fear to bring you down. Letting go of even a little will raise you up. Having made the journey to unconditional love for myself, it is no surprise that when I went looking for a professional coach training school more than a year later, I chose IPEC with its core philosophy of energy leadership, learning to lead your own energy so it works for rather than against you. Through the IPEC Certified Professional Coach and Energy Leadership Index Master Practitioner certifications, I acquired specialized knowledge, tools, and skills. I incorporated these into my signature approach, along with my discovery framework, to strengthen and deepen my ability to help my clients assess and transform their personal energy from fear to love in every situation. Respect. I honor my choices. I do the best I can with the love and light I have at the time. Unconditional self-respect begins with mindfulness, caring enough about myself and my experience to pay attention to what is happening and what I am feeling. If I don't recognize when I'm feeling stressed, I can't do anything to change it. Respect is also about not beating myself up for past choices, things I thought, said, did, or didn't do. It's about knowing that I am doing the best I can with the love and light I have access to at the time. Every experience is an opportunity. As I am able to recognize and transform more of my fear-based limiting beliefs into love-based empowering truths, I gain access to greater wisdom, clarity, and confidence, moving myself further along my personal journey to wholeness. By learning to demonstrate unconditional respect for myself in every moment, I become more able to demonstrate it for others as well. Respect is also about boundaries, being clear where mine end and yours begin. Many of us find it hard to set clear and healthy limits on what we will and won't allow others to do to us. Even more of us have difficulty not violating others' boundaries. Alrighty, we're going to take a quick break there, and we'll be back in 2 minutes.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Inspired by today's show? Visit Deborah at DJWLifeCoach.com and click on the Current Offers tab to access her proven life coaching programs and tools. Everything from her signature workbooks and videos to entertaining and inspiring blogs and newsletters. You'll even have the opportunity to sign up for a 60-minute complimentary coaching session. If someone offered you a precious gift for an hour of your time, would you be interested? That's what Deborah offers in a comp session. It isn't a brief demo or sample. It's a full 45-minute coaching session focused on your current real-life challenges, plus 15 minutes to discuss any questions you may have about her approach. Those who've experienced Deborah's comp sessions will tell you that when you show up fully committed to your own growth and open to the possibilities for transformation, big breakthroughs happen. What have you got to lose other than your fears and limiting beliefs? Visit the Current Offers tab on DJWLifeCoach.com. Choose your energy and change your life.
Hi, I'm Ed Krell, CEO of Destination Maternity. We proudly support the March of Dimes work in reducing premature births. Almost 500,000 babies are born too soon in the United States. We're helping the March of Dimes fund cutting-edge research and life-saving programs to help moms in our communities have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us during Prematurity Awareness Month in working together for stronger, healthier babies. Visit marchofdimes.com.
Friend us on Facebook to keep up with what's empowering the world. Voice America Empowerment.
You are listening to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life with Deborah Jane Wells. If you have a question or comment for the program today, please call us toll free at 888-346-9141. That's 888-346-9141. or you may send an email to Deborah@djwlifecoach.com. Now, back to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life.
This is Deborah again. Welcome back to our show. We return to Chapter 4 of my upcoming book and continue with respect, the first attribute of love. Consider this example from my own life. On Monday night, my spouse comes home from work miserable about how his boss is treating him. It pains me to see my husband so unhappy. I listen patiently and sympathetically to 60 minutes of complaining. I tell him exactly what he needs to do. He doesn't do it. Tuesday night, he comes home singing the second verse of the boss abuse song. I listen less patiently and repeat with additional rationale what I told him to do the night before. He shuts down and retreats to his den to watch football. Wednesday night, same song, third verse. This time, I don't listen at all, blow a gasket, and tell him to stop being such a wimp. He demonstrates just how much of a wimp he isn't by getting royally annoyed with me and storming off to the den. I demonstrate just how much of a wimp I am not by following him into the den and repeating my suggestion with even greater volume and specificity, including what he can do with the horse he rode in on. The good news? My husband's boss is now completely off the hook because we are now so angry at each other. What his boss is doing to him pales in comparison. Some of you are taking my side. She's a professional management consultant and life coach with more than 30 years experience. What moron wouldn't immediately implement anything she suggests? Others are taking my husband's side. She's a pushy, overbearing know-it-all who's taken 3 months to write the final three chapters of her book. Why doesn't she stop sapping his self-confidence and mind her own business? To both of you, I say, blah, blah, blah. Because the root of the problem is not whether my suggestions were wise. The issue is the nature of the core energy underneath me providing suggestions in the first place. Input stemming from a supposed desire to help becomes interference when it is fueled by fear in the form of anxiety, self-doubt, or arrogance. Anxiety, when I can't stand whatever pain I'm choosing to feel over the choices he is making, and in order to stop my pain, I need to get him to choose a different path. Self-doubt, when I fear that if he isn't making the same choices for his life that I'd make for mine, maybe I'm wrong. And arrogance, when I dare to presume that I can run his life better than he can. The common denominator in each case is that fear, not love, is the core energy fueling my suggestions. In the scenario of my husband's problem with his boss, my real goal wasn't to help my husband. My goal was to relieve my own fear-based pain at experiencing his pain. My goal was to stop his pain as quickly as possible so that I could stop my own. What I was doing didn't come from a good place. It came from fear, from wanting to fix it for him to release myself from fear faster, instead of respecting him enough to fix it himself when the time was optimal for his highest good. The tip-off is that I got annoyed when he didn't take my suggestion, annoyance being one of fear's many ugly cousins. It is nothing short of arrogant of me to think I could possibly run my husband's life better than he can. I'm asked all the time if this means it's always wrong to make suggestions or try to teach anyone anything. No, that is not what it means. Here's how to tell the difference between making a respectful suggestion and disrespectful interference. When I am coming from respect, I have no energetic charge over whether you act on what I share. When I'm being respectful, I'm fully and creatively engaged in the process with no attachment to the outcome. Disrespect is evidenced when I get hooked by what you decide to do or not do. Either relief or happiness when you do it my way, or frustration, anxiety, or anger when you don't. Either one demonstrates that I'm a little too invested in how you live your life. When I feel neutral about whether you do or don't adopt my suggestions or act on the information I shared, I'm coming from respect. This lesson was driven home for me dramatically when I heard a story about a man who tried to help a butterfly escape its cocoon more quickly by making the opening larger with a pair of nail scissors. The butterfly did emerge more quickly, but died within minutes. What appeared to the man as a needless struggle was actually crucial developmental time the butterfly needed to be able to thrive outside the cocoon. Robbed of that added growth opportunity, the butterfly never developed the strength he needed to survive and flourish. When I first heard this story, I sat at my kitchen counter and sobbed. I finally got it. All those times when, energized by my own fear, I had interfered with another's life, I had been decidedly unloving. When I disrespected the other's personal path by trying to shortcut her opportunity to learn in her own way and time, I had been anxious, insecure, and arrogant. These examples don't just demonstrate the subtlety of respecting others' boundaries. They point the way to respecting my own. Because without a doubt, the greatest violator of my personal boundaries is me. I am the perpetrator of unconscionably disrespectful words and acts against myself. Much of it happens in the confines of my own head. When I use my thoughts to undermine my self-confidence and punish myself repeatedly for past mistakes, I am abusing myself. When I incessantly rehash painful scenarios from my past, I cause myself far greater injury through that repetitive instant replay than the original abuser ever caused me. When I communicate to myself in subtle and not so subtle ways that I don't matter, am not good enough, and am powerless, I am being cruel. When I tell myself I'm crazy to keep thinking, saying, and doing the things I do, I disrespect myself and my journey. Most of us never say anything half as loathsome to others, even in our most enraged moments, as we say to ourselves daily in casual conversation. Respecting ourselves means zero tolerance for self-abuse and self-judgment. Curiosity, the next aspect of love we'll explore together, will prove a great aid in escaping the many destructive patterns of disrespecting ourselves and others. Curiosity. Instead of judging, I wonder why. Fear festers in dark and isolation. The moment you expose fear to examination in the light, you begin to dissipate its power. Nowhere is this more true than when fear shows up as its relentless ugly cousin, judging. When I talk about judging or judgment, I'm not referring to having good or bad discernment. I'm talking about judging yourself, other people, and situations in dualistic terms such as good or bad, right or wrong, okay or not okay. When we judge things by such simplistic, restrictive polarities, we limit our options, get stuck, and block ourselves from the highest good. When we can neutralize the judge, we get unstuck, expand our possibilities, and increase our ability to grow and move forward. One of the great miracles in life is how even a small change in your perception can dramatically expand your perspective. When a ship at sea changes course by just 1 degree, 100 miles later, it's in completely different waters than it would have been without that small modification in direction. The most profound shifts are the ones you make on the inside. One of the great miracles in life is how even a small change in your perception can dramatically expand your perspective. As human beings, many of us have a robust judging dialogue running in our heads much of the time. This is good for me. That would be bad for you. I was bad to do that. You were good to do that. You were bad to say no. I was good to say yes. We're not talking about torturing ourselves over real danger or life and death situations here. We're talking about how much you spent on that blouse, why you ate the second piece of pie at dinner, why you tend to become impatient with your youngest child, why you keep gaining weight, why no matter how hard you try, your mother-in-law can find the flaw in anything you do, and why, despite his promise to do so, your husband never remembers to put the trash out on Wednesday nights. Judging is a prison of our own making. We obsess until we've turned something inconsequential into a huge, paralyzing, misery-making melodrama. The solution is quite simple. Just say no. Next time your brother-in-law or the voice in your head wants to play the blame game with you, just say no. Demonstrate greater creativity and suggest a game of curiosity instead. Start with a question like this. If I'm mistaken about his motivation, what might really be going on? If this isn't about me, what are three other potential explanations that have nothing to do with me? And if one of those is the real explanation, what role do I choose to play in this situation? Because whether it's the voice in your head or the one coming from your older sister, you don't have to play any role. You can listen politely and say, "I appreciate you sharing that. Let me ponder it and get back to you." Then go about your business. You do not have to engage in every potential disagreement you're invited to. Newsflash, in your life, you are the great decider. Sometimes, despite copious curiosity, there is no clear, 100% verifiable answer. In those situations, I ask, which thought moves me forward? For example, I can't prove or disprove to a 100% certainty the presence of an all-loving, all-knowing, all-powerful life force in which everything is sourced and empowered. I find believing in such a force expands my opportunities and moves me forward in loving, wise, powerful ways. Whereas believing life is random and meaningless leaves me depressed and stuck. For me, it's an easy choice. I choose being fully alive. Given that judging is a prison of our own making, here's an added bonus, your so-called get-out-of-jail-free card. 90% of the time, other people do things for their own reasons. It has nothing to do with me. Even when it looks like it's directed at me, even when they tell me it's all my fault, there's a 90% chance it still has little or nothing to do with me. The corollary is also true. Even when I think it's all your fault, most likely it's not. It's probably mostly about me. We each carry around so many assumptions and filters from our culture, family, past disappointments, and future fears that it's nearly impossible for any one of us to be the sole cause of anything in someone else's life. So if it's not about me, instead of making myself crazy with destructive head chatter, how about investing my energy in being curious about what it might really be about? Better yet, how about releasing you with love, light, and respect to figure that out for yourself? Meanwhile, I can choose to do the same. Focus my energy on my own life, learn my next lesson, figure out what my next opportunity might be, and keep moving myself forward on my own path. Because, as we learned in the section on respect, I'm here to be the best me I can be. What you choose to make of your own life is completely up to you. Becoming conscious and claiming your personal power to neutralize the judge will yield immeasurable benefits. You will literally be able to redefine your world. Because there is no absolute reality, only the story I tell myself about what is happening and what it means. Every being, encounter, and experience that comes my way is filtered through a conglomeration of lenses that results in my unique perceptions. These lenses cause me to see my world in a certain way. They are influenced by my unique and complex mix of myriad factors, the family, cultural, and societal norms I was taught, my physical and mental abilities, my personality and natural talents, my birth order, the patterns I deduced from all my past experiences, and the assumptions I've presumed concerning what's likely and possible in the future. I create my reality in each moment by choosing what I will think, believe, feel, and do based on what my lenses allow. I can choose to look through the lens of fear and remain weighed down and self-imprisoned, or I can choose the lens of love and embrace a life of freedom and flow. No outside event or situation, no other person can dictate my attitude. However unconscious the process may feel at the time, I am manifesting the world I choose to see. Here is the essence of what I have learned from nearly 60 years on this earth. The nugget, the kernel, the gem. The only hope for finding peace in this life not comfort, but deep, abiding peace, is to be insatiably, fearlessly curious about myself. Time for another short break. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Change your world. Change your life. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
I'm Dr. Sam Nussbaum with WellPoint. We proudly support the March of Dimes work in reducing premature birth. Almost 500,000 babies are born too soon in the United States. We're helping the March of Dimes fund cutting-edge research and life-saving programs. These programs, such as Centering Pregnancy, help moms in our communities have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Please join us during Prematurity Awareness Month in working together for stronger, healthier babies. Visit marchofdimes.com.
Inspired by today's show? Visit Deborah at djwlifecoach.com and click on the Current Offers tab to access her proven life coaching programs and tools. Everything from her signature workbooks and videos to entertaining and inspiring blogs and newsletters. You'll even have the opportunity to sign up for a 60-minute complimentary coaching session. If someone offered you a precious gift for an hour of your time, would you be interested? That's what Deborah offers in a comp session. It isn't a brief demo or sample. It's a full 45-minute coaching session focused on your current real-life challenges, plus 15 minutes to discuss any questions you may have about her approach. Those who've experienced Deborah's comp sessions will tell you that when you show up fully committed to your own growth and open to the possibilities for transformation, big breakthroughs happen. What have you got to lose other than your fears and limiting beliefs? Visit the Current Offers tab on djwlifecoach.com. Choose your energy and change your life.
Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world.
You are listening to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life with Deborah Jane Wells. If you have a question or comment for the program today, please call us toll-free at 888-346-9141. That's 888-346-9141. Or you may send an email to Deborah at djwlifecoach.com. Now, back to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life.
We return to Chapter 4 of my upcoming book and continue with curiosity, the second attribute of love. We are all capable of the full range of human motivations and behaviors. None of us is exempt. Refusing to see any part of it, lulling myself into oblivion by clinging to an incomplete, distorted, polyperfect self-image will lead to my undoing. The greater and deeper the denial, the longer and harder the fall. Because that which is denied will wreak havoc. Maybe not today or tomorrow, but the longer I look without seeing and hear without listening, the more I stand to lose. The greatest gift I can give anyone is having the honesty and courage to see and share myself fully so that we might both benefit from our shared insight, compassion, and good humor. Failures, resilience, victories. We are here to help each other grow by sharing without reservation the only thing we have to give, our authentic selves. The only person controlling your life is you. Choose your energy and change your life. If you want to keep making yourself miserable and continue contaminating the energy of every situation you encounter, stop reading this book and keep doing what you're doing. But if you've had enough, if you're ready to stop the insanity, keep reading. You're going to love what happens when you learn to embrace the next aspect of love, compassion. Compassion. I acknowledge and value my feelings. Compassion is not sympathy. Sympathy is laced with judging because it involves feeling sorry for someone. However well-intentioned, sympathy is a form of judging based in determining that whatever is happening to yourself or someone else shouldn't be happening. Yet some of the greatest growth opportunities in life come through very painful experiences. Compassion is feeling with someone, being a loving, respectful, fully present, non-directive, non-judging companion who holds a sacred space in which the pained one can be present and completely authentic. True compassion is a rare experience. So often, sharing our pain with another results in them trying to get us to deny it. Translation, it's not real. Convince us to ignore it. Translation, it's not that bad. Focus our attention on something else. Translation, it's not worth it. Or fix it for us. Translation, it's so bad, it needs to stop right now, and you're so inept, I'll have to do it for you. Compassion, on the other hand, is grounded in believing with every fiber of your being that we are each doing the best we can in every moment with the love and light we are able to access at that time, given the blocks resulting from whatever fears we still choose to carry. Our reactions to our own pain are no exception. Here, the full range of our most uncompassionate responses gets regular exercise. While it can be difficult to just be with another who is in pain, learning to do so is key to healthy processing of the many forms of grieving we encounter in life. The ability to hold sacred space is as vital to unconditional self-love as it is to loving another. Noticing and embracing all of our emotions is essential to finding flow and making it a way of life. It's nearly impossible to know how to nurture ourselves optimally if we aren't willing to go inside, root around a bit, and discover what makes us tick. I know that when you're going through something painful, you might feel you can't bear the added anguish that might result from additional data. The opposite is actually the case. The fear festers and grows in the dark, taking over our lives precisely because we refuse to look at it closely. When we expose it to light and air by examining it with love, respect, curiosity, compassion, and gratitude, rather than judging, the fear immediately begins to lose some of its power. Emotions are important messengers. They help us notice the implications of what's happening and gain the maximum benefit from everything we experience. They are powerful indicators of where fear may still have a stronghold and be blocking our growth. They point the way to where we might go exploring for untapped veins of developmental gold. Knowing how to recognize, process, express, and release emotions is essential to our well-being. When we don't do so, the resulting buildup of fear-based emotional toxins can be energetically lethal. Our systems bog down from the poison, and we become stuck in an endless loop of replaying past pain, injuring and crippling ourselves even more. When I first began coaching, I was surprised by the number of men and women alike who were ashamed of crying, even in the presence of a licensed professional coach. Some cited a special appreciation for the norm of coaching by phone because they believed I wouldn't know when they were crying. Although it's unlikely that an intuitive and experienced life coach won't know that you're crying, even if you do so silently. Tears are a common human response to strong emotion, especially fear and its cousins. For many, the only way to avoid crying is to avoid feeling. Why is shedding tears so important and beneficial? There's a great parallel in the example of therapeutic massage. Every massage therapist I've ever worked with encouraged me to drink lots of water for the 24 to 48 hours afterwards. Deep tissue work releases copious toxins into your system. For the net result of the massage to be beneficial, it's necessary to flush those toxins from your system quickly and completely as possible. When you don't do so, your body may become overwhelmed, resulting in illness. Water is an essential element in ensuring that the massage is therapeutic and not detrimental. Water fosters flow. Think of crying as the emotional equivalent of water after a massage. When you've done deep emotional work on your own, the guide, stored emotional toxins are released into your system. Tears are one of the common ways to release those toxins and gain the full benefit of the emotional work. Some clients who are carrying a lifetime of unacknowledged, unfelt, stored emotions say they're afraid if they start crying now, they will never stop. While I empathize with that concern, I'm happy to report it doesn't tend to happen. Even a little bit of crying can do a world of good. The stored up tears do stop, and then by remaining aware and fully embracing all of your feelings all of the time, you'll find a little bit of crying goes a long way. When tears arise, it's an indicator we are in the presence of a big insight that bears deeper exploration once the strong emotions have been respected and cleared. Other times, there's nothing of note, just a need for a little release of pent-up stress. How do you know which you are dealing with? Once the tears have passed, breathe, close your eyes, and recenter yourself. Once centered, ask yourself whether there's something that bears deeper examination. Notice subtle responses throughout the major energy systems in your body, especially any tightening in your head, neck, chest, solar plexus, or stomach. Such responses may mean there's more to be worked through. An overall feeling of well-being usually means there's nothing to look at or nothing to look at right now. In all cases, just trust your intuition. This powerful technique may also be applied to decision-making. While it may feel too subtle to notice at first, with practice, you will become quite adept at reading your energy. We began this chapter focused on unconditional love, with respect, curiosity, and compassion as important aspects for defining what that sort of love looks like. In this last section of the chapter, we will explore gratitude, the final aspect of love and the key to fostering flow. Gratitude. I appreciate my life. Everything's an opportunity. I first became acquainted with the idea of a gratitude practice in 1995 through Sarah Bond Breathnach's book, Simple Abundance. The book's core concept was to begin and end each day by naming at least 5 things for which I was grateful. Some days the list overflowed with 25 or more items, evidence of my consciousness of the generosity of the universe. Other days, when I perceived things as going poorly, I struggled to identify even 5 things for which I was grateful. I followed the gratitude practice off and on through the years, but abandoned it entirely at the very time when I could have most benefited from it. When I got insanely, stressfully busy in the final years of my consulting career, I left the gratitude practice by the side of the road, having concluded erroneously that I was too busy to be intentionally grateful. Fast forward to 2010, when I had retired, lost 80 pounds, escaped depression, and began pursuing my calling as a life coach and Reiki master, teaching others about the transformative power of falling in love with themselves. Though love, respect, curiosity, and compassion were serving us well in manifesting unconditional self-love, sometimes when our lives got trickiest, the judging voice could still take over with its fear-based messages of doom and gloom. One day, during written meditation, I remembered the power of my former gratitude practice and wondered if it might be the missing link. As I went beyond just a morning and evening event to making it a way of life I call radical gratitude, here's what I discovered. Love and gratitude serve as the bookends of constructive core energy. Between them, they encompass and support all the other aspects of love, respect, curiosity, and compassion. Love initiates the flow of core energy. Gratitude expands it. Love is the originator, gratitude the catalyst. Through the eyes of gratitude, we see that everything is an opportunity, a grace-filled gift of universal love characterized by loving kindness, elegant beauty, copious generosity, and infinite mercy. Radical gratitude fosters a life of generous, effortless, gracious flow, filled with faith, hope, prosperity, peace, and joy. Faith means, I am confident that love is the greatest power in the universe. Hope means, universal love is always unfolding the highest good for all, in all, through all. Prosperity means, my universal source is excellent, limitless, and reliable. Peace means I relax into all that was, is, and will be. And joy means, whatever my circumstances, I know who I am and whose I am. What might radical gratitude look like in real life? Let's start with the example of cleaning the litter boxes for my three beloved cats, Sitta, Mortimer, and Maisie. Multiple cats means multiple litter boxes, six to be precise. Those boxes must be scooped free of refuse morning and night and be washed out and fitted with fresh litter once a month. At first, I was resentful. Why couldn't they stop being so territorial and use fewer boxes? I perceived the money and time I was investing as excessive and burdensome, until Mortimer became ill and nearly died. When we pulled him back from the brink of death and he began to grow stronger, it finally hit me. Cleaning their litter boxes was an act of love. It was an honor, a way I returned a fraction of the love and companionship he and his mate showered on me daily. When I shifted from resentment to gratitude, litter patrol was no longer a burden. There are so many things to be grateful for: clean water, hot showers, health care, education, heat in the winter, air conditioning in the summer, healthy food, smiles, hugs, and kisses, and physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual abilities. When I stay centered in gratitude for all of life's simple blessings, I find it easier to stay anchored there in the more painful times, the friend who dumps me, the spouse who becomes ill. When viewed through the lens of gratitude, even those painful experiences are opportunities for deeper insight, greater compassion, dramatic personal growth, and increased appreciation for the gift of life. In the words of the great sage Khalil Gibran, "Wake at dawn with a winged heart and give thanks for another day of loving." And that brings us to the end of our reading for today. I'm pleased to report that tomorrow, to celebrate Valentine's Day, I'll be delivering the manuscript for my book to my publisher, Hay House Balboa Press, for release this spring. Everything we encounter is an opportunity to go backwards, stay stuck, or move forward. If you'd like to move forward, I invite you to visit the book tab of my coaching website at www.djwlifecoach.com and join my Book Insider Club for free. As a member, you'll receive periodic updates on book signings and events, as well as exclusive access to expanded book content and special book purchase promotions, including the opportunity to buy the companion workbook and other related resources to support you on your personal journey to wholeness. This is Deborah Jane Wells signing off for now. Tune in again next week when we'll be joined by Luke Iorio, President and CEO of the Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching, or IPEC, to discuss IPEC's life-transforming energy leadership paradigm, including their groundbreaking Energy Leadership Index assessment. Many thanks to my incredible Voice America production team, including my dear engineer Roland Maldonado, executive producer Randall Libero, and everyone else at Voice America who keeps me on track and makes this show possible. When you visit my VoiceAmerica.com host page, you'll find more information about upcoming episodes and the nature of life coaching, with opportunities to subscribe to my blog, social media feeds, and special offers to guide you on your journey to wholeness. You can even listen to recordings of past episodes. If you'd like to learn more about the transformative power of life coaching and the 60-minute complimentary coaching sessions I offer, listen to the recording of my very first episode on January 9th, 2013, starting at the 37-minute mark for an insightful overview. Remember, when you fall in love with yourself, everything else finally falls into place, personally and professionally. You are loved and loving, blessed and a blessing. Namaste.
Thanks again for listening to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life. Please rejoin your host, Deborah Jane Wells, again next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time, on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's time to get off that hamster wheel and start fulfilling your destiny by creating a life you love.
thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.